Greetings. All right, I will now read Cookie Baking Day.
What time did you get home last night?
Solange demanded as she sat up in bed and shook out her tousled hair, now streaked a golden blonde.
9,
Quinn replied from behind his newspaper. Put down that newspaper and talk to me, Solange thought irritably and waited for further explanation.
Well?
Well, what?
I was awake until 11. What were you doing?
Having a few drinks, he replied crossly and turned the page.
Solange fumed a few more minutes before deciding that waiting on further explanation was useless when it came to Quentin.
Well, what happened in the graveyard? Why didn't you come up here when you got home?
Quint put down his paper and sighed, and Solange let out a yelp.
What did you do to your hands?
She said accusingly. He gave her an aggravated look. I can't even finish reading my damn paper, he thought irritably, before the fucking interrogation begins.
I was climbing a tree, he replied dispassionately.
This is not funny. Why don't you ever tell me anything?
I just told you, he snapped. I was climbing a damn tree. If you don't believe me, ask Lucretia. She was up in it ahead of me.
He returned to reading the paper. There is no one on this earth that has a husband more irritating than mine, Solange thought, without a doubt.
What were you doing in this tree?
She shrieked when she couldn't stand it any longer.
Trying to get away from that bloody werewolf.
What? You said everything was worked out. And you wouldn't run away from him anyway. You tried to beat him up.
Thought crossed my mind, he replied and turned to Paige. Then I decided against it.
Why?
There is no escaping her, Quentin thought, and put his paper down. She's going to hound me until she hears the whole story, and then she's going to freak out. I haven't had a minute of peace since I married her.
Oh, I don't know, he barked out. Maybe when I realized I didn't have a chance in hell of getting his wand away from him, and he was going to kill me. Maybe when he started turning into the godforsaken werewolf.
He jumped up and started towards the closet.
What are you doing?
Getting away from you, he replied nastily, so I can have 5 minutes of peace somewhere before I have to deal with the rest of the annoying fuckers that live here.
Solange looked around on the bedside table for something to throw at him, but nothing looked painful enough.
If you won't tell me, I'll ask Lucretia,
she shouted triumphantly and leapt out of bed.
That would be excellent. At least you'll be gone for 20 minutes.
Lucretia, of course, was delighted to fill Solange in on all the gory details of the events in the graveyard, and was even happier when Solange let out little shrieks of horror at dramatic points in the story.
Yes'm, that's what happened, she finished with satisfaction. And then we drags him back to his house, and Miss Elizabeth, she don't care nothing about me and Mr. Quilla. No, ma'am, she sure don't. She just can't on about how his face was scratched up and he got a bruise on his arm. And there we was, half dead.
She didn't even care that he tried to kill you both.
Oh, she care, all right, Lucretia muttered darkly. She tell us he'd be all upset if we bothers him about it, and we better not bother him none. That's all she care about.
Solange leapt angrily to her feet.
Oh, I don't know why he invited them over.
And it was all for nothing, Lucretia grumbled. That slimy old thing that lives with Mr. Lupin. He told who Mr. Timothy's father was anyways. It was that Sirius Black, she finished triumphantly. Mr. Lupin could have asked him before we ever left. He didn't think on it.
No, ma'am, he didn't.
What?
Solange yelled and jumped to her feet.
Quentin knew who Timothy's father was and he didn't even tell me. I'm the last one to know.
Yeah, some you is,
Lucretia replied pleasantly.
And Mr. Weasley sent an owl to someone's in charge of all that wizard stuff about your name and who your daddy is. And they tell him Mr. Lupin his godfather, too. I reckon it a big deal for them wizards.
Mr. Timothy all excited about it.
She beamed at Solange. Solange gave Lucretia a horrible glare and then rushed angrily up to Timothy's bedroom. The following afternoon, an excited crowd began milling around the long wooden table in the kitchen by 20 till 1, decked out in red aprons and arguing over seating arrangements. Lady Fanshawe had already sat herself in a regal fashion next to what strongly resembled an ancient mummified corpse.
"Who's that, Grandmother?"
Timothy asked interestedly as he plopped himself across from her.
"That's Reginald," Jamie answered with a disgusted face as he sat beside him. "He's a boyfriend."
Lady Fanshawe beamed happily at her grandsons.
"That's right," she shouted, turning her head so Richard could make out every word clearly. "This is Reginald, my new boyfriend. He's so in love with me." Timothy was a bit startled when the prehistoric face actually creased into a love-struck smile, and the ancient fellow reached out a bony hand and patted her arm.
I am,
he croaked out in a whispery voice. Wow, Jamie said nonchalantly to Tim.
He's been hanging around here for 2 months. It's the first time he's ever said anything.
Richard was yanking a very trashy-looking 40-year-old busty blonde towards the table.
I finally found the one, he announced dramatically to the gathering crowd. Yes, I found her. This is Marlena. She's going to be my new wife.
You still have an old wife.
Rosie scowled at her grandfather as she flopped down on the other side of Jamie.
What about that?
That will be taken care of, Richard replied cheerfully. Marlena, these are my grandchildren, he pronounced proudly.
Jamie, Rosie, and Timothy all gave her equally unimpressed and baleful stares.
What lovely children,
she shrieked and clapped her hands.
Lovely. They're adorable, Richard. Aren't they cute?
My sister and I aren't children. We're 22 years old.
Jamie scowled at her, and Rosie wrinkled up her nose in disgust.
Richard!
Apparently, Marlena was not interested in anything Jamie had to say.
Are we going shopping after this? You haven't bought me anything today.
Hey, super old dude, Kenny hissed as he sat down beside Reginald. Man, I almost shagged your girlfriend, dude. Yeah, she came and got in my bed, man. When she backed out. She's a tease, super old dude. She doesn't really want it.
Reginald let out a sigh of relief.
That's all right, he croaked.
I certainly am not, Lady Fanshawe boomed out stridently. Reginald is going to be my new husband. He is an earl, and we're going to have a wonderful honeymoon.
You better hurry it up,
Jamie smirked. A terrified look crossed Reginald's face, and he pulled a medicine bottle from his shirt pocket, shaking out a few pills with trembling, papery hands.
Cool, Kenny cackled. What have you got, man? Some hydros? Any OxyContin, super old dude?
Nitroglycerin,
Reginald squeaked in a barely audible voice.
Viagra.
Richard snorted as he glanced over at Reginald.
Apparently you've had to rob the graveyard to find yourself a boyfriend, Caroline.
Quentin, who was checking the stoves and listening to the group with some amusement, smiled when Lupin and Elizabeth chose this moment to come into the kitchen.
Don't say graveyard, he told Richard and started laughing. Please don't,
Lupin added and shuddered.
You be quiet,
Elizabeth hissed to Quentin.
He doesn't care, Quentin replied cheerfully. After the way I acted, he should have tried to kill me.
Lupin, apparently feeling forgiven, smiled at him as he helped Elizabeth clamber awkwardly onto the bench next to Rosie.
It is pretty funny in retrospect, he said thoughtfully. I wish you could have seen your face when that tree limb broke and Lucretia's ass started falling on you.
They both broke out laughing.
What is wrong with them? Rosie snapped at Elizabeth. How do they think something like that's funny?
Elizabeth sighed.
They're weird,
she replied in a practical voice. Lupin wandered over and peered at the stove.
How do you light that thing up?
He said interestedly.
Get away from the stove,
Elizabeth called out loudly.
Quentin, you'd better not let him near that stove.
Electric, see?
Quentin ignored Elizabeth and began showing Lupin the various knobs and dials.
So, what were you thinking when we were up in that tree?
I was thinking I'd walk around the tree,
Lupin replied amiably,
and wait until one of you fell out.
And then?
Well, rip your throat out and kill you, I suppose,
he replied in an embarrassed voice, and Quentin burst out laughing.
Damn, I've really missed you,
he told Lupin affectionately, and Rosie and Jamie exchanged astounded looks.
Apparently, the way to Dan's heart is by trying to kill him,
Rosie told her brother dryly.
You're going about it the wrong way. You should shoot him.
He never says he misses me, Jamie scowled, even when he's been gone a few weeks, because I'm not as interesting as Lupin is.
Well, that's true, Rosie thought, but was polite enough to keep this to herself. Teddy sprinted into the room and screeched to a halt at the foot of the table, jumping up and down with delight.
Teddy! Ace!
Timothy shrieked as if he hadn't seen him 2 days ago.
Teddy!
Screamed all four quadruplets in unison, and Elizabeth ran up and threw her arms around his neck.
Hello, young man! Richard beamed at him fondly. My, you've grown! Have you missed me?
He pulled a couple peppermint sticks out of his pocket and handed them to Teddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Teddy replied politely and tried desperately to remember who he was.
Teddy!
Lady Fanshawe shrilled and cast a malevolent stare at Richard.
Come and sit by me. I've missed you dreadfully.
You've missed his dad. Rosie smirked at her, and Lady Fanshawe gave her a dreadful glower.
That is all in the past, she announced melodramatically. I've put the past behind me, and I'm going to pick up the pieces of my life and go on.
Quentin and Lupin exchanged a glance and fell over the counter laughing.
Oh my god!
Lupin was wiping tears from his eyes.
These people are fucking hilarious. I suppose it's the only reason you can stand them.
Funnier when you're here, Quentin told him cheerfully, since I know I'll have someone I actually want to talk to when they've ceased to be amusing. Slodge sailed into the room just in time to hear this last comment, put her nose up in the air, and went right past them to Elizabeth. You just stay over there and have fun with your boyfriend, she fumed. You bastard. Apparently I'm only good for one thing. Otherwise I'm bothering you.
What's that about?
Lupin said worriedly.
Hush on my last damn nerve, Quentin replied.
She's been yelling at me for 6 months, and I'm always in a bad mood. And now that I'm not, she's pissed off about that.
Why are you turning it on when there's nothing in it?
Lupin was still looking at the oven. We have to preheat it.
Why?
I'm not really sure. I think if you warm the oven up slowly, it's meant to keep things from burning. Lupin was giving the stove a very thoughtful look.
You know,
he said finally,
I've got an idea.
Don't say that! Elizabeth yelled desperately. Get away from the stove! What's that? Quentin replied. Apparently neither of them could hear her.
I could try that with fiend fire. Start it out warm, let it gradually get hotter.
He kept peering at the stove. What's the use of that? Lupin gave him a surprised look.
Torturing Death Eaters, of course. If you just torch them up, they can't talk. If the heat starts out low and gets hotter, they'd start talking once you got to a certain temperature.
Slodge started whacking the dough around angrily on the counter and rolling it in flour. Slodge! Quentin called back. Give me a piece of that dough! Slodge snatched up a large handful and flung it at him, and Lupin snatched it out of the air. Thanks, he told her courteously, as if she had just politely handed it to him, but Quentin gave her a deathly stare.
Well, thank God you're here. Maybe you can protect me from her ass. Last year, she threw 6 eggs and 5 sticks of butter in my hair. I thought Parks was going to have a fucking stroke.
Right. Lupin was more interested in putting the cookie dough on a cookie sheet and shoving it into the oven.
I say, Richard screamed and snatched a bowl out of Rosie's hands. Get your filthy hands off that damn bowl. Give me those bloody red dragées. I'm making a baby Jesus here. You young people don't know what Christmas is all about.
Rosie gave her grandfather an incredulous look.
It's about shouting and swearing and grabbing things, she replied in a baffled voice. Richard!
Marlena pouted.
Christmas is about shopping. I want to go to the mall. And if you won't take me, at least give me your credit card.
Oh my God, Elizabeth hissed at Rosie. What is wrong with him? She's the worst one yet. She asked me if she could paint my nails.
Rosie shuddered.
And then she said we should do each other's hair. I think she's like 12 years old or something. And Jamie says she's going through all his money.
I might just well make a cookie with that dog,
Loretta howled from the other end of the table.
Because that's about as much as you all care for me.
Oh my,
Marlena sighed to Elizabeth and Rosie with a glance in Loretta's direction.
Isn't the hat terrible? How many times has she permed it?
Loretta started to snatch up a scalpel blade, but Angel clamped a firm hand on her wrist.
None of that, she said threateningly.
I need some water,
Loretta replied irritably.
I've got hair in my throat.
Angel gave her a disgusted look, but picked up a glass of water and handed it to her. Loretta started gulping it down and made an awful face.
Something is wrong with this water,
she shrieked.
It tastes horrible. Not that anybody would care that I haven't clean water to drink.
Shut up, the entire table moaned in unison, and Loretta flung the glass to the floor and stared at them maniacally.
Crescent yellow fiend fire,
Lupin shouted at the stove, and it promptly blew up into an enormous flaming ball of fire. Everyone at the table jumped up screaming, and the blast knocked Reginald right onto the floor.
My cookies, Richard shrieked like a girl and leapt to his feet. My cookies were in that oven. I'll bloody well kill you.
Just burn it!
Lupin yelled through the cloud of black smoke that obscured half the kitchen, and the fire went out. He and Quentin looked at the remains of the charred oven with soot-covered faces.
Sorry,
Lupin said hastily.
I guess I heated up too fast. I've never used a muggle oven before. Reparo!
The stove returned to its previous state.
Get away from that stove!
Solange yelled and snatched up a few eggs in a threatening manner.
Elizabeth told you you'd better, and you've already tried to kill Quentin once this week!
She added irritably. Lupin looked very hurt indeed and started stammering out an apology.
Oh, shut the fuck up! Quentin shouted at her,
and Solange threw a bowl of flour on him.
You shut up! She snapped, or I'll throw some eggs too. Now, go sit down, Remus!
Lupin hastily went back to the table, jumping out of the way when Richard flung a scalpel blade at him.
I haven't enough dough! Richard bellowed and snatched up half the dough on Elizabeth's plate. What are you hoarding all the dough for, missy? And I need those bloody green stars!
Elizabeth sighed. Dad's really competitive about cookie baking, she said to Lupin in a resigned voice. He'll slit somebody's throat if they mess with his icing.
Lupin gave her an incredulous look, but said nothing. Elizabeth started giggling.
What? You think that muggles are crazy, she said cheerfully, but you won't say it.
Lupin smiled.
Well, look around the table, he replied. Oh, it's just my family, she said cheerfully. Jamie and Rosie are just spoiled, and Solange is depressed, and mothers are hateful, and dad's an old codger, and Tim's just a little crazy.
Lupin finished with a smile.
You don't have to explain them to me. Anyway, who am I to talk? I've got a sister who pretends she's a squib so she can hide out and drink all day, and a great-great-grandfather whose mission in life is to make me commit suicide, and a son with green hair, and a nephew that mixes vodka with his cookie batter.
They both gave Victor a disgusted glance.
But I think William's okay. He smiled. Well, other muggles aren't as weird as my family,
Elizabeth proclaimed stubbornly.
Yes, they are. I've seen that Flavor of Love show on your computer.
Elizabeth burst out laughing.
Those reality shows are fake, she announced firmly. Fake! They tried to make them dramatic.
Lupin thought to himself that if reality shows were fake, this was only further proof of muggle madness, but decided it was probably best not to voice the opinion. Loretta, meanwhile, had begun making gagging noises.
What's wrong with her? Rosie said in a bored voice. Why is she drooling like that?
Her tongue is swelling up, Angel announced loudly, although she did not seem especially displeased. She's having some sort of allergic reaction. You'd better call an ambulance.
She's fine, Quentin muttered as he put another batch of cookies in the oven. She's trying to get attention.
Loretta toppled over with a loud crash.
She's not even breathing, Angel screeched,
and Quentin gave her a thoroughly disgusted look.
All right, he said furiously, and started punching numbers on his cell phone. What the fuck does she have to do this now?
Angel jumped up and down and began doing CPR, and everyone else turned back to their cookie making.
Aren't you even going to speak to me, Mother?
Elizabeth said sharply.
You haven't seen me for 6 months.
What? Who? I don't believe I can hear you, her mother answered rudely. I don't believe you are any daughter of mine,
she finished and turned her head as far to the side as possible without breaking her neck.
Why are you so horrible? Elizabeth yelled and burst into tears.
It's the hormones,
Teddy told the rest of the table knowingly.
That's why she starts crying. She's really okay.
Be quiet, Lupin hissed at Lady Fanshawe. Quit being an old bitch.
This did not deter her in the slightest.
It's a hormone, all right, Lady Fanshawe shouted triumphantly, because that's what she is. I don't see any wedding band on your finger, missy.
I'm glad I bit you,
Lupin muttered furiously, and Rosie burst out laughing. Two paramedics rushed into the room, dragging a defibrillator, an intubation box, and a stretcher, although no one but Kenny, who wondered if they might have narcotics in the box, appeared to have noticed.
Aren't you meant to have some old boyfriend, Caroline?
Lupin snapped, as Jamie stomped over, picked Reginald up from the floor, and carted him back to the bench.
Why are you still so jealous because I'm in love with your daughter?
Elizabeth beamed at this, and Rosie clapped her hands.
We can burn old grandmother, she said delightedly. I do have a boyfriend, she screeched. Here he is. This is Reginald.
Lupin looked rather startled at the sight of Reginald, but stood up and politely shook his hand.
Damn, he whispered to Rosie. I think he's actually older than John. How old can muggles get?
I don't know. Let's find out, she replied cheerfully. So, how old are you, Reginald?
Rosie, that's very rude, her grandmother shrieked. Just ignore her, Reginald. She has no manners whatsoever. She's the most unladylike granddaughter a woman could ever have.
I'm 100,
Reginald started croaking out, but Lady Fanshawe quickly interrupted him.
He's 94, that's all, and he's very youthful for his age.
2 milligrams of Epi-In,
one of the paramedics shouted in the background. Looks like V-fib. Charging. Clear the field.
I say, Richard shouted, give me that reindeer shape, Victor, and get away from my sprinkles, he bellowed at Shala, who leapt away from him with a frightened expression.
Tell me more stories about my dad, Timothy ordered Lupin. Tell me about when he got the motorbike. I don't know that story.
Solange gave Lupin a warning look.
Maybe later, he mumbled. I want some pictures, Tim yelled. I need pictures for my desk. When can I come over and get some? Whenever it's all right with your mother,
Lupin replied quickly. Solange was giving him a very irritated look indeed.
Oh, go whenever you want, she snapped at Tim. I know that's where you want to be anyway.
Thanks, Timothy beamed. I'll go home with you,
he announced to Lupin and Elizabeth.
You will not. You need to ask before you just invite yourself to someone's house,
Elizabeth frowned, and Timothy immediately burst into a torrent of begging and pleading.
Ha! Richard yelled triumphantly. You are all in very big trouble, I say. This is my best cookie yet. It's a very scary ghost. It'll frighten the bejesus out of you and win for sure. You might as well pick up your dough and go home, he finished happily.
We live here, Grandfather.
Jamie scowled at him as he and Rosie exchanged disgusted glances.
Nobody's afraid of your own cookie.
I want to go to the mall, Richard!
Marlena shouted sulkily and folded her arms across her chest.
I need a new purse!
You haven't gone over the rules, Timothy informed Quentin loftily. You've got to go over the rules.
Shortcut 360! Jamie Simon Oberon!
One of the paramedics hollered at the other.
I've got a line started, Angel yelled triumphantly from the floor.
I say, I was using that yellow, Richard barked at Kenny,
and the two of them yanked a bowl of food coloring back and forth until it flipped in the air and doused them both thoroughly.
Lucretia picks the best decorated cookie,
Elizabeth explained to Lupin.
She doesn't know who did which one, so it's fair. And this year, I'm going to win,
she added cheerily.
I've been practicing drawing the outline of a piano so I can cut out the shape, see? And I watched a couple of shows about cookie decorating. I'm going to use a toothpick to draw the keys.
You aren't winning anything, missy, her father hollered and waved his arms threateningly. This ghost is terrifying. He is very realistic, I say.
It isn't realistic if you can't see through it,
Lupin told him matter-of-factly.
Ghosts haven't solid shapes.
And what do you know about it? If I wanted your opinion, I'd ask for it,
Richard screamed and flung a bowl of red icing in his direction, shouting with fury when the bowl turned around and landed on top of his head.
Why don't you do this?
Lupin asked Quentin, who had come over to collect another sheet of cookies.
Because I'd win every year,
he smirked.
You would not, Elizabeth replied loudly. I say Quentin should get to make a cookie,
she told the rest of the group.
It's only fair. Maybe he'd like to do it, too.
Thank you, Quentin replied with a self-satisfied air and sat down at the table. Hand me one of those scalpel blades, will you? He said politely to Elizabeth.
Remus!
Solange hissed and motioned at him conspiratorially, and he got up and walked rather warily towards her where she was rolling out dough.
Why are they being so nice to each other? It's really weird,
she added.
I don't know, he mused. I'm not asking too many questions. He thinks it's all part of my master plan. I'm trying to pretend I'm behind it.
Solange looked skeptical.
You know, he said seriously, Tim's awfully interested in his father and the wizarding stuff because, well, it's kind of a new world to him. He'll get used to it as he goes along. And he isn't ever going to forget his mother, he added, whom he loves more than anyone else in the whole world.
Solange burst into tears, ran around the counter and flung her arms around his neck.
Thank you,
she wailed.
I'm so sorry I've been so horrible to you. It's just that Quentin only wants to hang around you and he thinks I'm just a bother and Tim always wants to go to your house and Elizabeth led me to move in with you and you've taken everybody away from me.
She stared at the floor after this outburst, looking quite embarrassed indeed.
Let's finish out the lidocaine. Hand me slice 7.0,
one of the paramedics barked out irritably.
I suppose you can't help it, though,
she said forlornly.
I can't even hate you because you're too nice.
Solange, I haven't taken anybody away from you, he said sternly. Elizabeth loves you just as she always has. This bit with Tim will wear off, and I'm quite sure Quentin's more interested in you than he is in me.
Remus! Quentin shouted and Lupin winced.
Come back over here and sit down. You haven't finished the story about the death-eating vampire in the gay bar.
Quentin is going to go over the rules, Timothy yelled again, and Lupin sighed and returned to his seat.
All right. No one uses the scalpel blades with the adults, and they're only used on the dough. No one is to throw any dough or anything else. No fighting, screaming, pinching, shoving, or shouting,
Quentin finished threateningly.
Are these rules ever followed?
Lupin asked Elizabeth with a smile.
No, she replied promptly. Never. Everybody starts throwing the dough and shouting. And then Quentin will say, ah, fuck the rules, so he can throw stuff himself. And then total bedlam breaks out.
She finished enthusiastically, and Rosie nodded her agreement.
See, that's why I've got this big bowl of blue food coloring here. I'm saving it to throw on Mother.
Continue CPR! Charging to 360! Let's load and go! I say, what are those fellows doing?
Richard apparently had just now noticed the paramedics.
They're coding Loretta, dude, Kenny announced gleefully. She's been down 20 minutes, man. She had 4 shocks and 5 epis and the amiodarone load and maxed out on the lidocaine, dude. I bet she's gonna die, man. You ought to just call it now, dude.
He cackled at the medic, who turned and gave him a disgusted look.
Well, you know about this, he snapped. Man, I go to the ER every week, dude. I hear lots of codes, man. I know how it's done, dude. I know ACLS protocol, man. I bet I could be a paramedic.
He's back here now,
Victor mumbled and tried to lean around Henry to look at her.
No, was the reply loudly, and quit staring at me.
You look different, Victor muttered and peered at her interestedly.
I'm pregnant, you moron.
You are?
Victor jumped up and looked horrified.
Blimey! I don't want no kids!
He gave Henry a desperate look.
What am I going to do, Henry?
This isn't your kid, you idiot. Henry snapped at him. Sit down before Lupin takes your fucking head off. Lupin was giving Victor a rather peculiar look.
What is wrong with you?
Elizabeth yelled, and apparently forgetting about her mother, threw the entire bowl of blue food coloring at Victor's head.
Food fight! Food fight!
Kenny shrieked ecstatically, and the air immediately became thick with flying pieces of dough, globs of icing, and cookie cutter shapes.
Just ignore him,
Rosie hissed to Lupin.
He's just a stupid drunk.
Lupin did not reply.
Who's gonna meet us at the hospital?
Shouted the paramedics as they loaded the intubated Lorette onto the stretcher. There was dead silence in the room.
Honestly, Angel shrieked. Someone's got to come!
Well, I'm too old, I say,
Richard announced immediately.
I'm feeling a bit off-color myself. Think I'm having a bit of chest pain.
I feel faint,
Lady Fanshawe waved her fan dramatically.
I think I'm going to faint. Where are my smelling salts?
Angel glared furiously at Solange.
What?
She yelled.
Where should I go? She's tried to kill me twice.
Are you her sister? She snapped. You're her closest relation. You heard her parents. They're too elderly to go.
Well, they are not, Solange screeched. And Elizabeth's her sister, too.
I think the baby's coming, Elizabeth announced quickly. I'm in labor.
Oh,
Solange gave Quentin a deathly stare and stomped her foot.
You are coming with me if I've got to go.
No, I'm not, he snapped. I've got company, and Remus is telling me a story.
Remus is always telling a story,
Solange shrieked.
So, he barked, at least he's got something interesting to say. Go on down there and call me when they've decided if she's dead or not.
Why didn't you kill him,
Solange screamed at Lupin. You're supposed to be quick. Couldn't you have called him before he got up that tree?
I got distracted, Lupin said apologetically. I could smell a couple of the fresh corpses.
Well, good for you, she yelled. And I'm not going,
she screeched at the paramedics, who'd apparently decided they were tired of the crowd anyway, since they were carting Loretta off on a backboard.
What do you mean?
Victor shouted. Apparently Henry was reminding him where Elizabeth had been living the past 9 months.
Leave me bloody wife alone,
he yelled down the table at Lupin.
She isn't your wife,
Lupin snarled.
Don't listen to him, Elizabeth wailed.
Oh, yeah,
Victor screamed triumphantly at Lupin.
I'm what she married, ain't I? She knows me, you bloody well know it.
Henry gave Lupin a hopeful look.
You can summon your sword non-verbally, can't you? He suggested amiably. You could cut off his head. That doesn't take any magic. Then I could put icing and sprinkles on it,
he added cheerfully, and bake it in the oven. I bet that'd win.
That is disgusting, Rosie shouted. This isn't even funny.
Man, I thought it was funny, dude.
Kenny clapped his hands and cackled gleefully.
Maybe he'll do it.
Lupin jumped up and stalked out of the kitchen. Elizabeth promptly burst into tears and tried to follow him, causing her to nearly topple over as she tried to get up too quickly from the bench.
Hip, be careful, Quentin frowned and leapt to his feet. Don't go jumping around. You can't catch up to him and you'll fall.
There was dead silence in the room. Teddy shouted at his smirking alcoholic cousin and snatched Timothy's wand out of his pocket.
And I'm gonna blast you to pieces! Kung Fingo!
The table broke into about 20 pieces, and cookies, dough, icing, decorations, and utensils all crashed into a huge pile on the floor amidst the wreckage.
I say!
Richard screamed, his face turning a bright shade of purple.
I say you've ruined all the cookies! You've ruined the best cookie I ever made!
He snatched up a scalpel blade threateningly and waved it at Teddy. Timothy grabbed his wand back.
Expelliarmus! He said triumphantly, and the scalpel blade flew to his side. Ha! You better not mess with Teddy. His dad's my godfather. Our dads were best mates. My dad was the best wizard ever. He was the only person to ever escape from Azkaban.
The entire table moaned in unison. They had heard more about Sirius in the past 24 hours than they'd ever wanted to know.
You've broken the damn table, Quint snapped at Teddy, who began bawling. Fix it back.
I don't know how to fix it back,
Teddy whispered to Timothy in a panicked voice.
Do you?
No, I can't ever fix anything back.
Victor, meanwhile, was looking quite dissatisfied with himself.
What the hell's wrong with you? Henry said disgustedly. You suck. Why are you taking his side?
Victor barked out and slammed the bottle down beside him with a bang.
Maybe I like him better than you, Henry replied nastily. And I know what you did to him. William told me the whole story. You're an asshole.
I haven't the slightest clue what you're on about,
Victor replied loftily and took another swig of vodka.
He's talking about when you lied to Elizabeth and kept his letters and ruined everything for your own uncle who was like a brother to you,
Rosie hissed.
What? Richard perked up a bit. I've never heard this story. Tell the story, I say. What letters?
Lady Fanshawe shrieked.
There weren't any letters!
Didn't they used to know each other before Elizabeth married Victor?
Jamie blurted out in a shocked voice.
I want to hear the story!
Shala burst out enthusiastically.
Stolen love letters?
Reginald croaked and his waxen lips curled into a ghost of a smile. Quentin gave Rosie a very puzzled look.
What the hell are you talking about?
The letters! Rosie yelled and jumped to her feet. They were in love and Victor was supposed to deliver his letters and he kept them and told Elizabeth Remus had another girlfriend. That's why he was so upset at Elizabeth's wedding, because Victor split them up and broke his heart!
She finished with satisfaction, noting the horrified looks from around the shattered remnants of the table.
And then all his friends died!
She screamed melodramatically.
Man, you suck, dude!
Even Kenny was impressed.
That's horrible, man! I wouldn't even do that to get to shag somebody!
Nothing could have proved Rosie's point better than this statement.
I say, what a dastardly deed!
Richard bellowed.
You're the worst person on the planet! Shala yelled.
Yeah, you suck ass, Jamie told him threateningly, and Victor started looking around rather nervously.
You motherfucker, Quentin hissed. You never told me one damn word about that. Then you cheated on her and stayed out drunk all the time and whined to me about what a bitch she was.
Victor gave Rosie a desperately pleading look as the crowd closed in, but she wasn't done yet.
And then they had a baby that died,
she shrieked triumphantly,
and it was all Victor's fault.
How this was all Victor's fault, she wasn't quite sure, but it had the desired effect of causing the entire crowd to leap upon him at once, and he sprinted out of the room at a previously unimagined speed. Elizabeth went out to the garden, since she knew Lupin always went outside when he was upset, and found him stomping around, glaring at bushes until they burst into flames.
Stop that! She shrieked. Haven't you blown up enough things today? Why are you even listening to him?
Perhaps because he's right,
Lupin whirled around and hissed angrily.
What is wrong with you? You're the only one that won't marry me, and I just stay with you anyway, like some pathetic, desperate idiot.
What the hell are you talking about? He shouted. I asked you, and you wouldn't answer me.
Elizabeth was so furious she could not even speak.
I did so, she finally screamed. I said yes.
You did not, he spat out.
Yes, I did, and then you never brought it up again.
How many times do you think I'm going to ask you? He shouted back. First you chose him, you knew what he'd done, then I ask you again and you won't even answer me. I told myself I was never doing this again and I shouldn't have done it, he snarled.
You shouldn't have done it. Who stays home all alone and pregnant taking care of somebody's kid when they won't even marry them?
I told you didn't have to watch Teddy. I managed to take care of him before you came along.
I love Teddy, she wailed. I'm making a point.
Nobody's forcing you to do anything, he replied coldly.
Fine, she shrieked. Go away then, and remember not to tell me goodbye.
Lupin disapparated with a bang that broke the glass on the sliding back door. He hadn't been thinking of where he wanted to go, just that she wanted him to leave, but wasn't surprised to find himself standing outside the gates of the shrieking shack. There was a crowd whispering at the gates, delightedly telling one another stories of the horrific ghouls, spirits, and demons that infested the world's most haunted place. And none of them noticed the stranger without a cloak until he tapped on the gates with his wand and started walking up the path.
"Get away from there! You can't go in there! It's forbidden! You'll never come out alive!"
If only that were true, he thought bitterly to himself. He started up a fire in the hearth and waved dust off the counters and cabinets. There were still bowls scattered around the floor that the anime guy marauders had used as food and water dishes during their grand adventures, a few old blankets in the corner, and broken boards and bloodstains on the walls that told the story of 100 agonizing transformations. He climbed up the steps to the second floor where Dumbledore had done his best to create a sort of bedroom and shuffled through a pile of records left scattered on the desk. He tried to smile when he saw a Joni Mitchell album on which Sirius had scribbled dreary werewolf music, and found he couldn't, and put on some Don McLean. Sirius had always been fond of American Pie anyway. A dozen ghosts played across the wall in the reflected lantern light. Dumbledore, with his twinkling blue eyes and then grave expression, his particular compassionate gaze he had fixed so often on Lupin, it finally became one of his own expressions. Lily and James dancing in the corner, oblivious to the sarcastic comments of their friends. Sirius, the picture of handsome carelessness, his short barking laugh, his worried expression, seldom seen, when he pulled off the invisibility cloak and rushed over to his infirmary bed. Elizabeth. No, not going there. He stretched out on the bed beneath the long red and gold Gryffindor banner and saw the ghost of his childish self.
"How'd you know that, sir?"
He'd not yet been 11 when he first met Dumbledore, and they had discussed what would have to be done for him to attend Hogwarts. And afterwards, he had taken him to the shack, watching with a grave expression as he inspected what would be his monthly home.
"What do you mean, Remus?"
Now the blue eyes were twinkling.
"Well," he hesitated, "the Gryffindor banner. Do you think I'll be Gryffindor? My family's always been in Ravenclaw. Everybody says I read too much,"
he sighed.
"Of course you'll be in Gryffindor, Remus,"
Dumbledore replied mildly.
"You are a Gryffindor."
And that's why I can't ever give up, he thought, no matter how much I want to. He always believed in me. He closed his eyes and wished there were some way to close out the memories, just for a little while, and listen to the music which hung in the air with a piercing, bittersweet stillness.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and the daffodils. Catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me and how you suffered for your sanity.
Well, I was going to try to finish singing that, but it didn't quite work out. That was one of my dad's favorite albums. But anyway, so I hope you enjoyed that. It's so funny. It starts out so hilarious and then it ends up really sad. But anyway, so I hope you enjoyed it. And next up, I believe, is The Amazing, Incredible, Very Good Day, which is a hell of a lot longer than this one. So I hope my voice holds out. So toodaloo.